The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which our heroes draw a card.
Hello listener, and welcome to the drawing for episode 41 of The Big Red Couch. Because we are now a geographically distributed podcast.
Ooh, big words.
Indeed. We're trying to figure out how on earth to actually do a random drawing when the card box can only be in one place at once. And so what I'm doing is stirring them around with my hand, grabbing a card, and I'm going to hold it up to the camera and see if that works.
I can see it. Oh, it's one of the novels. Nope, that's completely unreadable.
Okay, yep. should I read it?
It's definitely a card.
I think I know which one it is. In other news, Florida woman has left Florida man for Yellowknife man. Child of no fixed abode is now a ward of the state.
Yeah, that's wow, that's good. Were you reading or remembering that?
About 50-50.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that one may actually be my fault.
So that's episode 41.
Yay!
I should find a pen.
Florida man.
Florida man.
Okay, and now I have a TMBG song kind of filking itself in my mind. Anybody else?
No, I do too.
Florida man, doing the things that Florida can. And that's where I lose it.
Apparently. One could argue that you'd actually lost it a bit before that. But, why squabble about semantics?
Some days later.
Hello, listener, and welcome to episode 41 of The Big Red Couch. This evening on the mics we have, from the Great Hall,
Tonya.
From the Manor,
Ben.
And seated in the Big Red Couch recording booth is Craig. Our topic for this evening is, in other news, Florida woman has left Florida man for Yellowknife man. Child of no fixed abode is now a ward of the state. I think we can blame Kev for this.
Does sound like a Kevism.
Possibly Kev, possibly me, I'm not sure.
Well, Kev's not here to defend himself, so I mean it's...
Oh, right, yes, totally Kev.
Yeah.
It's totally Kev. Sorry, that sounded like a catch cry for some sort of...
It's so Kev.
Indeed. I can't believe
it's
not.
Very 80s.
I can't believe it's not Kev.
So, here we are gathered around disparate microphones. Shall I go first?
If you like.
Seeing as I just started talking?
Yeah, I think you've got the momentum going.
Yep. Woo! Okay. Yeah, I think... I remember when we put this in the box of mystery that there'd been some kind of... There was some kind of incident where a woman had gone to make herself some waffles, turned on the oven, and the oven had shot her when it cooked off the ammunition someone had been storing in it. Naturally, this happened in Florida. And it got me wondering whether this is in fact a, as the meme says, an incident that shows that Florida Man, TM, is in fact the world's worst superhero, or if in fact what we have is a game of competing tabloid press interests. So you have writers for different tabloids, possibly tabloid newspapers, possibly tabloid TV, who are playing a sort of chicken with their editors, where they find these stories of things that have happened and write the most eye-catchingly terrible headline and make sure that they've got everything that they need to back up that headline so that it's a solid story. The idea is to get all of this in place before your competitor at a different television station or tabloid rag is able to do something before you or stupider than you.
I like it.
Earlier today, I was looking through the internet and found my favorite Florida person headline, which was a Florida woman stabs husband with squirrel. That is all the context I have, so...
And all you'll ever need, probably.
Yeah. I'm imagining that the squirrel was holding a knife at the time.
It could have been a stuffed squirrel.
I'm imagining a live squirrel.
But it's
a case of she grabs her pet squirrel, her pet squirrel, who's also had enough of this shit, grabs a kitchen knife, and working in perfect synchrony, like the samurai of old.
That's like some sort of screwed up Disney movie right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my game pitch.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are the players working against each other, mm-hmm. or are the players all working for the same tabloid?
I don't know. If it's a standard RPG, they kind of have to be in the same press room, sort of competing against other paper, the evil people.
Other inferior tabloids.
Inferior tabloids.
We hate those guys.
Indeed. On the other hand, if it's a card or board game, then each player could be their own tabloid.
If it's a card or board game, I'm liking the idea of putting down little sections of the headline as play goes along.
Oh, so you don't even have it all at any given time.
Yeah, so you've got woman stabs squirrel. sort of just building,
but you can
things up.
Rearrange it?
I think so, yeah. if everybody's working for the same tabloid, there is a game that screams out to be used for this. And that's Amazing Engine Tabloid. Right there on the cover.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. If it's a board game, I like the idea of there being a theoretically non-player player who is the editor entity. So the person who is empowered to deal out cards or say you don't have enough to substantiate that story yet.
I'm wondering whether you could do some sort of voting scheme where you can't vote for your own headline. Everybody else sort of does which one do you want to know more about?
I'm wondering if I can't come up with more of an RPG-shaped spin on this.
Hmm?
This is the idea that there is a reason these headlines are turning up. And it's not just because of the John Oliver meme I'm looking at the moment where it says, okay, Florida, just because you're shaped like some combination of a gun and a dick doesn't mean you have to act that way.
Wow.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver.
Odd things happen in Florida. It's something. There is a reason that they happen, but this reason must be concealed. And strange events occur. What you're trying to do is to juggle and muddy the facts enough so everyone thinks it's, oh, you, Florida, you're just being strange again, and actually concealing the terrible truth.
Okay. Do you have ideas on what this terrible truth might be, or is that part of the point of play, is to create / discover that?
Maybe you find the terrible truth when the things that you hide, the stuff that's elided from all of the headlines and they're reshaped, becomes the terrible truth.
So you're kind of reading between the lines.
Yep.
Figuring out where the soundstage for the moon set is, kind of thing. Okay.
That being the case, I would be remiss if I did not mention a TV series called The Chronicle, which was a TV series about a tabloid newspaper called The Chronicle, who are possibly the only people publishing what is honestly going on out there.
Okay.
You know,
I take it they run in the same circles as the World Weekly News.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, okay.
B-52 bomber found on moon.
Right.
Etc.
Bat Boy, Satan's Army, etc., etc.
The usual. Your spin on it, or your spin on Tonya's idea, has a bit more meta plot to it.
Yeah, it's the notion is that if you're not just coming up with crazy happenstance, you are taking the crazy happenstance and shaping the perception of it, trying to work around what's going on. Maybe that's a bit more gameable.
Certainly a bit less beer and pretzels.
Yeah, no, it could be adequately as random and silly as you like.
Okay, well, that's... I don't actually have anything to add to Tonya's idea, because that one's... That's actually kind of a neat idea. the dueling tabloids, as it were.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. So, who's next?
I could read Kev's, as he is not currently present, and give me an idea to come up with something a bit more nuanced on my idea.
Okay.
Frantically stall for time.
Indeed.
It's the gaming way.
Just a moment. I need to go to the bathroom and write the next of the session's adventure. Did I say that all out loud?
Oh my god, you know my plan!
From Kev, we have Let's Flip the Incredibles. The PCs are the government handlers of a superhero family in disguise. Trouble is that the superhero family is cataclysmically dysfunctional, and your job is to handle them. you do your job so well that they're not obviously superheroes, just fucked up. What makes into the papers are the leftover shenaniganry. Good grief. Okay. What makes it to the papers is the leftover shenaniganry after our heroes have solved the problem. So, Florida woman stabs husband with squirrel, fails to mention that this is a result of the altercation caused by her discovering her husband had a cabin of bootleg cloning vats made from stolen bathtubs, in which he was brewing an army of giant mutant squirrels with which to gain revenge from that dude down the block who keeps revving his engine at night, and fails to mention that this is because of our heroes sorting it out first. You're welcome. So he's torn on whether the PC should be allowed to have superpowers too. It seems to have legs either way. It should be done in such a way that their subject family has them outclassed in terms of raw mojo and cussedness just to make things interesting.
Okay, so you have people who are emotionally and mentally not the stablest, but are total powerhouses as the people being handled. Yeah, that's got legs.
Maybe the superpowers aren't just like, you know, massive physical strength or something. There's some sort of subconscious reality manipulation that makes shit happen, and extremely unusual shit at that, but it washes out to be a positive thing.
And what's left is things like man attacks ATM with axe when it won't accept his check.
Yes.
Yeah.
The side effects are fairly unusual.
I'm getting a Monsters and Other Childish Things vibe from that. As there was a game that Kev did where you had people playing a child and a monster. Each player, when they were playing a monster, was playing the monster of somebody else's child, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the same way that Better Angels has people playing the shadow of one of the other characters.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, you could probably do something similar here where you've got members of the family being played as shadows or monsters of each of the handlers.
They're each assigned somewhere that they're marking, that they're supposed to keep in check to a degree.
Yeah, so you're Little Timmy's handler, but you're playing Florida Woman.
That would work nicely. I can definitely see that one descending into madness and ooze in very short order.
You could probably squeeze... I think I probably want a short-run campaign, if a campaign at all, to be honest. Because that sounds to me like a game requiring an awful lot of sugar just to keep the energy up.
I'm thinking that Inspectors might be a good format for it as well. Because you can set up the unlikely happenstance using the confession booth-style announcements, you know.
Oh, okay, so you're putting the control of that into the player's hands rather than having the GM sneak up on them with it.
Well, it could be very much just the GM being a jerk all the time, one way or the other. If they're playing the people they're set to mark anyway, it makes sense that you introduce other elements as well.
Fair enough.
I'm thinking I'd set it during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you just want a turkey roaster fire, don't you?
I disagree with that statement. I don't just want a turkey roaster fire.
Okay.
He wants a magical turkey roaster fire.
A super turkey roaster. I want to see what happens when a drunk idiot with a turkey deep fryer sets fire to the backyard. I want to know what happens when that person has flame-based superpowers.
Yep.
There was me thinking that you were going for I think the only episode of Jerry Springer I've ever seen, because somebody put it up on YouTube and it went viral, of Jerry Springer deciding to throw a dysfunctional family a stereotypical Thanksgiving.
And it's all proceeding apace until somebody breaks a glass and lunges for somebody else's neck?
Yep, that's the one.
I wasn't thinking of anything quite that serious, to be honest.
Maybe it would be interesting to catch it as that as a superhero team, they're pretty effective. They know their roles in the team. They're good at combating villains. It's just that during any downtime when they're forced to play nice together,
things go wrong.
Terribly, terribly wrong.
Okay, so it's Wolverine and Cyclops being forced to play mini golf.
How would that even work?
Badly. Very, very badly.
I could definitely see some entertainment value in that. The idea that you set up the scene by describing what happened on the mission, And then, but the events of the game actually unfold and the bitter, acrimonious arguing about it later.
And it ends with somebody being stabbed with a squirrel.
It could be possibly frozen. Frozen, sharpened squirrel.
I don't know. Squirrels are pretty sharp.
The squirrels of Tyndalos, existing in strange fractional dimensions.
Indeed, where time has angles, or angles of time.
The mini-angled squirrel.
My brain just flashed on a frame from, I think, a Warren Ellis comic, where there's a little girl guarding something really important. People ask her what her superpower is. I make puppies! And
these are not little puppies, are they?
Oh, they're little puppies. She makes them inside of and out of people.
Oh. Yeah, because that's not creepy at all. That's a new level of creepy. Well done, Mr. Ellis. Who should go next? We do have some jauntint, or I have an alleged idea.
Dealer's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should I do my alleged idea? Then we could do the jauntint to give Ben the maximum possible time.
Yeah, I don't think we're gaining anything particularly, but that sounds like an awesome order to go in.
Okay, all right. I went straight in the direction of superheroes and sports franchises. And so what you've got is a world where there are superheroes, and presumably supervillains, because you don't seem to have one without the other. But you've got supers. They're very tightly monitored and controlled, because nobody entirely trusts them, and they don't really want to have a large number of them hanging around anywhere. Uh-huh. And so they're kind of geographically restricted and doled out and limited to certain areas.
Sort of jurisdictions, or?
A little bit jurisdictions. I mean, I couldn't stop thinking of the American football franchise systems where there's only a certain number of teams allowed,
mm-hmm.
and where it's very big business as to where those teams are and what they do.
So, in this context, you've got the licensed supers and anyone else is a villain?
Ooh,
it would depend on how Marvel Civil War you wanted to go with it.
That is a marvelous distinction, though.
And I was thinking of it just from the point of view that for the prompt we've got Florida woman has left Florida man for Yellowknife man. Which basically means that Florida woman has up and left her contract in Florida, presumably because of some level of split up with Florida man, has moved to Yellowknife. So the town of Yellowknife suddenly has a state level superhero heroine in town. Very big news.
Mm-hmm.
Very big deal. Meanwhile, Florida has authorization from the superheroic commissioner for two state-level superheroes, now only has one, so they're going to be looking for another one. There may be contractual issues with the fact that Florida woman has left, because that contract may not have taken into account Florida man being caught in a nightclub with a face full of nose candy and
whatever else it was
boys.
He did.
This may not have come up. Child of no fixed abode is a ward of the state, because you know, what do you do with a superpowered teenager when the parents separate?
Mm.
Acting out takes on a whole extra dimension, quite possibly literally.
That's a really good thought. I like that one. Does this mean that the game is about figuring out how to balance who is where, or are you playing the supers, or?
That's the bit I couldn't figure out.
It sounds like a plausible setting for a superhero game where you are dealing with the fallout of these the consequences of this disruption to the natural order, heavy air quotes, that the establishment has existed in.
Maybe that's the press release that goes out before some kind of talent pick to fill Florida woman's position.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, I can see a short, possibly a one-off game as superhero recruiters going around to other state-level superheroes trying to get them on board.
Or maybe that the group has banded together because they know that one of them is going to get to fill the spot, but they're currently in the amateur leagues. And they're basically struggling together to see if they get a shot at a license to super.
Yes, I can't quite see how to make a long-running game out of this one other than in a play the supers. If I was doing this as a play the supers and a longer running thing, I would definitely pick up on the, and if you're not a licensed franchised superhero, you're a supervillain angle. Because then it allows you to sort of tread the same ground as games like Necessary Evil and the like, where somebody's a supervillain essentially because they don't have a job.
The cornerstone of my idea, and so these ideas that were becoming way too close, was remembering reading a comic series called The New Statesman, back from the early 90s, from a 2008 spin-off called Crisis, which was terrible, lefty, angry young man stuff, which is great. But the idea was that the statesmen in question were the 51 superhumans built, one per state, and they were the sanctioned bully boys of the authorities, and did all sorts of questionable shit. The story kicks off pretty much with the introduction of the 51st statesman and state, which was Great Britain.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty on the nose, kind of right on political thinking.
2000 AD? No, wow. I am so shocked.
This is Crisis, the more political, in your face spin-off, which is quite
impressive, given that 2000 AD.
2000 AD was always more sarcasm and with an impish grin. This was and you know, it was a little bit prodding and wheedling, but yeah, Crisis was just go for it.
Straight out there.
And yeah, the notion that yes, that they are the bully boys for the authority, and there's like one of them, and they're kind of like the representative. It's like they've got your state governor and your state superhero. Yeah, it was a nasty, dark existence, that particular version of America.
Apparently.
Okay. Mm. I'm seeing Craig's idea, and it's sounding like Ben's idea could be done as a fiasco.
What would the setup and tilt be, though? I can definitely see that.
The setup would be you are here for superhero tryouts. You guys are all competitors for Superhero X Factor, Florida version.
I keep seeing Wipeout in my mind's eye. But keep going.
Could be.
Whereas I'm seeing more the...
American Gladiators?
No. I'm jumping straight to the American football thing again. And I forget what they call it, but it could be the draft. My apologies to our American listener. I will have to actually look up the right terminology because I'm mangling this. Effectively, the thing where all the hopefuls are put through their paces... And various teams start picking who they want.
Sorry, your culture is strange and uncanny to us.
I still like doing it like a game show.
I think American Gladiators would be the perfect template, because that is pretty much what it was. They pitted, like, mortals against these sort of cheesy Greek god knockoffs.
Yeah, I was thinking that If you're doing it more as a head-to-head talent quest, then you've got people coming up together and supporting each other and working to knock out rivals. And the tilt comes at the point where you're the only four left. Someone's got to go.
Ooh.
Mm.
So the crossover point is the immunity challenge.
Ooh,
you guys
like
know a lot about reality TV.
Not that much.
I've been mainlining a show called Face Off, which is about people designing fantasy and science fiction makeups. So it's part construction show and part vicious knockout talent reality show.
Awesome.
Mm. Yes, I think I have seen the odd episode of it. Yeah, that's a pretty good description. People build shit and then are horrible to each other.
But
it's one of the nicer examples of the type.
I do remember the one where somebody was gleefully trying to throw his alleged teammate under a bus, and the judges called him on it.
That was the second episode of the first season. It never happened again. People learned.
Oh, they just learned not to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember the dude. Stop. No, seriously. Stop talking.
You're only making this worse.
Yeah.
If I was allowed to can you both, I would.
But yes, the idea of a reality TV elimination superhero competition just fills me with all sorts of terrible thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with that one as well.
I am glad. I had a good adjustment to somebody else's idea.
Yeah.
Yay! But
especially if it's set in a universe like The Boys, where superhuman abilities are almost purely manufactured. It's a drug.
Okay, so there's also a possibility that to boost yourself, you can get your hands on more of the drug.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're selected to compete, you get the first shot.
So you can sign up as a bare mortal.
You sign up as a total schleb, and they choose the annoying one, and the ditzy one, and the loudmouth one, and you know they do the normal selection process. They give them a shot of super serum, and you know before it's properly kicked in, they're doing bloody wipeout style obstacle courses. And things just get more and more deadly, and they're struggling on. They're fighting over who gets the bump and a half in the next round, so that they're to pull ahead of the opposition. Oh, that could go so many wrong places. That's just amazing.
Wrong.
You've got that backstabbing douchebag. Only now he can run through a wall.
Yes.
Or he can sculpt things really quickly that come to life.
That's depending on how the superpower presents itself.
So that could be exciting in its own right. And the very notion, if there is a sort of a superhero pantheon or superhero team, and they've decided this is the best way to select their members.
So it's Rockstar in excess for supers.
What do they do with the leftovers? As in the people who can out.
Where do you think the serum comes from?
Ooh, dark. I like it.
Okay, that was possibly a little too dark.
Darkest pitch ever. Darkest pitch ever. Sorry.
So what you're saying, it's black as pitch.
And now I have Back in Black on my brain. Well done.
We'll link it in the show notes. It'll be fine. So that's where I went with it. We could take a look at the John Tent.
All right. Since I'm standing in and my ideas have been whittled down a bit, I can read the John Tent as well.
Did I actually hull your idea? I'm sorry.
No, it's kind of got bracketed by yours and Kev's, so there wasn't very much left except the fact that I'm a grotesque throwback to late 80s comics.
We're at episode 41. People have got to know that by now.
He's right, yeah. You know.
And that's just also, the numbered episodes. I haven't actually counted how many episodes we've released. Other than
we should do that at some point. Also, having said that, I am now really intrigued as to what there is left of Ben's idea.
That was pretty much it, the idea that there's a replacement process for these patently ethically unsound superhuman guardians. Mm. And the possibility that, you know, maybe somebody is trying to break into the system and sort of expose it from within, or people are doing it out of, you know, sheer, I want to be on top. So, you know, if someone drops a bus into a crowded stadium saving the world, it's going to be me.
It's a situation of a state representative superhero needing to be replaced.
More from the angle that, you know, that there is less of a game show angle. I initially came up with it, but the game show angle made me think, well, that's going to be funny.
Cool.
I'm wondering what's going to happen in Yellowknife when they have a state-level super in not a huge town.
Yellowknife is Alaska?
Northwest Territories of Canada.
Oh,
so it's
right.
Actually a different country.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's even... I think it was cold and remote.
Population in the vicinity of 20,000. Yeah. What Excellent. Happens when that town suddenly gets a
weapons grade superhuman?
Yes.
Well, it's got to be upkeep costs.
I know what happens. Well, it's going to be upkeep costs, but also the town's mayor starts to get big ideas.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like a Canadian bacon kind of.
Yeah. She may have moved for the quiet life. She's sick of all this chest thumping and stuff that goes on with the larger superhero cred, as it were. But she moves to this tiny place and suddenly small town putting out big banners saying come and have a go if you think you're hard enough to Doctor Doom. What am I gonna do?
Nice. And there's all sorts of like legal and political ramifications of having a category 5 superhuman in your city limits.
I suppose there are insurance issues.
Oh yeah.
Oh baby, yes.
And, you know, it might not be something that happens inevitably. It's just, there's been precedent, man. Stuff has happened and people don't forget things that, you know, somebody gets upset and chucks the TV remote at sort of like super luminal speeds.
Yeah, annihilates the town hall and Mount Rushmore. It's a bad scene. I mostly cottoned onto the franchise idea because of the cults moving to Indianapolis, which was just, it's a hilarious story to read. It was a sports team that was going to be acquired under eminent domain until the owner snuck them and all of their gear out with a police escort waiting at the state border.
Wow. That is exciting.
It is. It is a fantastic thing to read up on, because it's just a, man, New Zealand sport does not get this interesting.
No, not at all. Come out. We're here to repossess your gridiron team.
Pretty much, yeah.
How do you repossess a large number of human beings? I thought that was illegal.
I got nothing. Yeah. I have no answers for you, Frodo.
Yeah, I suspect some of those NFL laws, you know, supersede certain constitutional...
Inalienable rights?
Yeah, constitutional amendments. Not really, you know, the same sort of ballpark.
These truths are self-evident, unless, of course, they happen to be able to do a really good 10-yard dash, in which case we own them!
Yeah, probably all too close to the truth.
And their children, if they look quick. Yes. Anyway, John's idea. Take it away!
In the aftermath of the Great Stupid War... That's the official name. The recovering constituent governments of the United North Americanadia decided unanimously to resolve future conflicts peacefully by creating the noble tradition of Murder Bowl. States, provinces, cities, counties, trade unions, peritation associations, etc., all choose champions to represent them. Each year at Murder Bowl, any conflicts that couldn't resolve by negotiation are solved by fights to first blood or tap out. Murder Bowl is just a name. Jeez, we're not barbarians. It's for a similar sort of contest. Sure, the fights are popular, but what really keeps the public engaged in this new philosophy is the drama in the off-season. Will Florida Man's feud with Yellowknife Man, who's dating his ex, interfere with their tag team fight against the Arcadia Triplets over fishing subsidies? How far will a university faculty union and their rivals in the administration go to convince the strongest students to fight on their behalf? Reality TV cameras and the paparazzi are watching the most prestigious champions, and the local media are always interested in the rest.
Dude.
That's kind of cool.
This is basically wrestling, yes?
I think it was fairly. I've seen some people talk about events in professional wrestling and come out of it just enchanted with the amount of energy and total buy-in these people had, and had even less idea what actually happened at the events.
It sounds like the event itself is not really what you go for. You go for the hype and the story and...
Oh, yeah, there's a narrative.
There's athleticism happening at the same time is almost incidental.
They got to sell it. These guys, as you say, they're athletes. They do this crazy shit for real. The unreality is in the sort of, like, choreographed nature of it and the stories that they craft. But yeah, they're still huge, meaty guys throwing themselves off turnbuckle into each other. It's got to feel real, I think, is the point. And these people are getting really into these sort of these conflicts of personalities and so forth. Definitely kind of seems to be buying into the same sort of dramatic presentation, except for public work budgets and that sorts of thing.
How will the battle over the pay rise for snowmobile operators go after what the head of technical services at Muskegee University said about our Sharon? It's a nice line, and simultaneously being very sort of high impact and at the same time utterly banal.
I'm wondering if you'd do this with Hong Kong Action Theatre. So rather than it being about something with a combat system, you're playing these movements in a WWF-type narrative and using the star power that you gain or lose to change things to position your superhero closer to the centre of the narrative.
So as much your faction as your character. So it's not just the actor, but it represents these interests.
That's the only real idea I have to add to that, really, because... It's pretty cool.
I'm trying to think of any way that you could do an RPG or, in fact, just a game of kind of reporting on the event. But I can't quite get my head around how to make it fun to play.
If Murder Bowl requires supers that are powerful enough they can't cohabit with the rest of humanity, then you could have players who are a on-field reporting team, as it were. So you have your sound guy and your camera guy and your field reporter sort of scurrying around trying not to get hit by flying things to do the in-the-field throw-to-anchor kind of thing.
Well, this doesn't really require, in fact, just reading John's thing, it's champions, not necessarily supers, which
true
cranks things down a little. I'm just wondering, Ben, you have a copy of Inspectors, yes?
Yep.
I'm just wondering whether you could sort of warp the have we solved the problem thing to the being the TV people and the paparazzi and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the more the central mechanic is like the again was that the confession booth style stuff. So you're throwing in extra exciting things for the other players. Not sure that's as suitable.
That's true, yeah.
While it might not be superhero related, but it's a strong candidate for the sort of thing, it could actually be a post-apocalypse. The Great Stupid War presumably had some sort of impact, or people wouldn't call it such. So it could be very much played for the Great Lake of Washington style post-apocalypse hilarity.
Okay. Yeah, I did get kind of stuck on supers there, so sorry about that.
So, Apocalypse World Comedy Edition. There's one of those, right?
Not so much.
All is lost.
You can play anything for yucks if you try hard enough.
Yeah, there's always moments of humour. They just tend to be counterparts.
Dark humour. Fine. Mutant Bikers of the Atomic Wastelands.
That sounds pretty achievable, yeah.
If your champions are survivors, I'm kind of getting an anti-entity Thunderdome vibe thing.
The name Murder Bowl does kind of help.
It kind of does, yeah.
Though it is just a name. I am imagining just the Murder Bowl. Seriously, it's just a name written underneath it in a different font. A different, more annoyed font.
I'm getting kind of a bit of an Idiocracy kind of vibe as well. The shining central tenet of civilization that has been carried through by humanity to this new age is getting in a place and chanting for their team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair call.
Everything else is kind of like half remembered and kind of shoddily put together, but the thing they're focused on is this one annual sporting event.
And it's the chanting.
It holds everything together. But it just seems like a damned weird thing. It's like, I know what we need to retain to the ages. That Super Bowl thing. Yes.
Sporting fandom.
Taking our shirts off and painting ourselves the appropriate colour of our team.
Using substances that should probably never be in contact with your skin.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Thanks again, John.
Indeed. Mm. Thank you, John.
Hopefully we have adequately offended North America so that we don't have to do this too soon and repeat ourselves.
Oh, was that the goal? Oh, crap. Sorry.
Well, I kind of assumed it was.
I have seen various forum and the like post when there is horrifying news report from the US. You often get people doing the please don't be my state. Please don't be my state reads. Shit. Not always Florida.
Not always Florida. Hey, Florida's sounds great. I mean, it's got sun and alligators, except where the anacondas that have been flushed down people's toilets have grown to enormous sizes and eaten them.
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice. Mm-hmm.
Note, we may only know about stuff that turns into the, if you can't be a shining example, be a horrible warning category of thing about Florida, because that's what people talk about. I'm indeed sure that's not everybody.
And Dexter.
That's that true.
Kind of comes under the first one, doesn't it?
Okay, so we've established that we know shit about Florida, and
that was sort of holding me back, that's true.
Well, I guess, is that it for...
I think we've covered all the bases.
All right. Hopefully that was entertaining. Hopefully.
Thanks for joining us, audience.
Hopefully it had actual content. Thank you for joining us, audience. And we'll see you next time on the Big Red Couch.
Bye.
See ya.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
Oh my goodness.
What's it say?
Every pony, it's the singularity.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!